Be seated. The time of Messiah is a time of wonder. And should be, because his name shall be called Wonderful. You can't explain it. A virgin shall conceive? I mean, when Isaiah, he went down to the same McDonald's that Peter went to the other night. He's going down to McDonald's to get him a biscuit. Isaiah was one morning. And on the way down, God spoke to him. He ran back into the house. And Mrs. Isaiah said, "What's up, baby?" He said, "God spoke to me." "Well, what did he say?" He said, "A virgin shall conceive." She said, "You're not going to preach that, are you?" But after you've been dealt with like he'd been dealt with, I mean, he ran naked in the streets for 3 years. I mean, you'd do anything God say. That's in your Bible. Well, he preached it, wrote it down, and died and went to heaven, and it never happened. And the religious people of his day said, "False prophet! That's what the law says. Never came to pass." 7 centuries later, that night when the heavens exploded with the praises of angels and men, the spirits of just men made perfect, wherever heaven is, and if it's got a balcony, Isaiah leaned over, punched Jeremiah, and said, "I told you." You be careful. Don't you put your mouth on a real prophet. It might take 700 years for his word to happen. But if it's God, it'll happen. "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with corporate us." I want to say one more thing off my first point. My first 2 points are lengthier than my last 2 points, and I won't even get to the last point, so relax. I want to do something. It has to be done. This thought is for me. This is to strengthen me. You hang in there. You stay in the Holy Ghost. I got a word for Abraham and Sarah over here. You help me tonight. Work with me. Work with me. Work with me. Please. I want to thank you for not being ashamed of me in my present condition. You don't understand. You see, God did this to me. I was minding my own business as a really good and faithful church-going sinner. That belt just popped loose. Too much toast. I told you. Don't be ashamed of me in my present condition. I've been impregnated with a living word. And ladies, you know what this is all about in that moment of delivery. And when you first got pregnant and found out you were going to have your baby, especially the first one, you were excited and ran and told everyone. But about that 8th month, when you turned mean as a snake and got crazy, no. Especially when that baby was coming, you looked at your husband and said, "I'll kill you later." "You did this to me!" Just minding my own business as a good church-going sinner. He saved me. Sovereignly filled me with the Holy Ghost. And sovereignly showed me the kingdom. From 66 to 69. Like Mary and Joseph, I've just gone through life, and all of a sudden, something happened. Listen, children, it's a wonder, and you cannot explain it. No. You can't explain it. Don't try. You know how you can know you're living in the time of the corporate Messiah? Let me ask you a question. Has anything happened in your life the last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 1 year, 6 months, last week or yesterday, for which there is no rational, logical explanation? Then rejoice. It's a time of wonder. Things are happening to you that you cannot explain. You may never know. He that cometh to God must simply believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Things have happened in my life, the good, the bad, and the very interesting. To this day, I don't know why some stuff has happened. In the lives of my elders, my deacons, my children. The time of Messiah is a time of wonder. Stuff is happening for which there is no rationale. Now, if you're a brain person, you will not be happy during the time of Messiah, because you need an answer for everything. God's looking for people who will walk by faith and not necessarily by sight. I want to thank you for not being ashamed of me in my present condition. Thank you, Mom, for having me. Thank you, school. Thank you, preachers. What are you talking about? I am not wanted or appreciated by everyone. If I took it all the way over to that other side, I'm not even liked by some. I'm talking about preachers. They've come into my office and said, you can't preach this in our local area. You can't preach this level of commitment. You can't preach this word of maturity. And the interpretation of their tongues was, if you preach it, I got to preach it, and I don't want to preach it because I don't want to live it, so I wish you'd be still. Forgive my choice of words, but after you heard what I preached the last 2 nights, to some in America, I am the Prince of Devils. I've been written about, lied on, ostracized, persecuted, etc. ad nauseum. I'm either hated or loved. I don't give folks a choice by virtue of the seed. Joseph was minded to put her away privately. Thank you, Joseph, for not being ashamed. Thank you for the liberty you've given me here. Thank you for receiving me. You have blessed my life. I wanted to say that for me. God bless you. Thank you. It's a joy to come into a place where you're genuinely received and loved and appreciated. Give yourself a hand clap. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your entertainment pleasure, I would like to introduce to you Liz. Point two. It's a time of witness. And in Luke chapter 1, the first thing that happens is that John the Baptist is born. And John chapter 1 verse 7 says he was not the light, but he was sent as a witness to the light. The seed is in you. Pat your tummy and say, thank you, Jesus. And once the seed is in you, the seed lives so the seed can speak. Come on, somebody. And I already told you, I hear a jubilee trumpet over New Zealand. We walked down to the prayer house or somewhere where we were the first day, because I was, you know, kind of jet lagged. Was it the prayer house? Walked in there, and who was it that said, the bugle is blowing? Who said that? It was John. He started singing the song of the Lord that the bugle is blowing. And so it is. Hallelujah. He's the same one that came to me the other night with tears and he said, your deacon's going to live. And he has. Thank you. Glory to God. And he said, a bugle's blowing. I hear a jubilee trumpet over your nation. I hear a jubilee trumpet over this school. I hear it. It's getting louder, 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 louder. It's getting clearer, 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 clearer. And it won't stop blowing until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. John's a witness. Now I got to show you how John was born. I want very much, Des, for you to be Liz, but I will be nice. Once upon a time, this is the story of Zach and Liz, Zacharias and Elizabeth, for you that need to listen closely. Zach and Liz, Zach walked into the temple. Read about this in Luke 1. It was the time of incense. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Is your hand up there for a reason? You got another tape? Put it in now. We've already killed an hour and a half. Ready to go? Ready to go? Still got your arm around her, don't you? Hallelujah. Caught you today. He's worked hard. Give him a hand clap. Now, if you're clock-eyed, I'm going to preach till 11, just to let you know. Zach walks into the temple. It's the time of incense, time of prayer. He's of the course of Abijah, which is the 8th of 24 courses. It's a brand new day. He walks in. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, if you study it all out. This old man walks in. Walks past the brazen altar, walks past the laver, walks into the holy place, and standing over next to the table of showbread is Gabe. Gabriel. And Zach, now, keep calm on this point. Hold her down, bro. And Zach says, yo, Gabe! Yo. It's American. Y-O. Yo. How are you? Yo. Black people say that. White people say that. Apparently you don't say that. Act American. Yo, Gabe. Yo, Zach. What's up? You and Liz going to have a baby. I'm sorry, ladies. I've got to do it now. He said, Gabe, how long's it been since you've been down here? Have you seen my wife? Because the old English, the authorized version, says that both Zach and Liz were not just stricken. Everybody say stricken. Oh, say it like you mean it. Stricken. Or advanced in years. Baby, they were well stricken. Everybody say well stricken. Tell three people nothing was where it belonged. Tell them. Calm down, woman. I cast that woman out of that devil. He said, you and Liz are going to have a baby. Zach said, I don't believe that. And you know what happened. What happened? No, right then what happened? He was made dumb, and that doesn't mean stupid. That means he couldn't talk. So he sounded like this. He couldn't talk. I'm going back here to get some of these stoic people to smile at me if I have to slap them around. He couldn't talk. And he sounded like this. I can't help you people. He goes home in this condition. Now is when I wanted to get Des up here to be Liz, but I can't do that. You'll never live down the flying Jesus. If I did this to him, use your fertile imagination once again. Everybody say, we're about to meet Liz. Now, Liz is home. You got it? This is work. Zach walks in. He can't speak. He looks at her. She looks back at him, puts her knitting down, stops her rocking chair, said, "Old man, I don't know what you're trying to say to me, but God knows you ain't looked at me like that in 35 years. He was undaunted. Must have been British. Yes, yeah, yeah. But the dude can't talk. This is the abbreviated version. I'm about to run you out of here if you're religious. These are American expressions. Just live with it. And he goes back and he says, which being interpreted is, "Let's get it on, mama." And he did. And she did. And whoops, there it is. And that's how John was born. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Smile, even if it hurts your face." Just. I couldn't do that to you. I couldn't do that to you. It happened just like that. Spirit showed me. You need to go sit in the back because there's some really sad-looking people back in there. I'm telling you. The seed lives. Say that with me. Seed lives.
Seed lives.
And now the seed speaks.
Now the seed speaks.
John's a witness. Great preacher. Amen? Everything else is talking in that chapter. Let me get on with it because I don't want to keep here all night. You have to take my word for this one. Gabriel's talking in that chapter. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is built on Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, time of Messiah is a time of wonder. The seed cannot be explained, right? Messiah can't be explained. Luke chapter 1, the wonder becomes a witness. Seed lives, seed speaks. And the seed cannot be silenced. John's a witness. He's born. He's going to talk. He's going to prophesy. Got it? Gabriel's talking next in that chapter. Gabriel was an archangel, archeagelos, which means a ruling messenger. And as such, speaks to me of the apostolic company. Because in that verse, in that chapter, when he came to Mary and when he was sent to Zechariah, the word sent is used twice. It's apostello. The verb of apostolos, which means to be sent fully authorized, sent as authority, sent apostolically. Now, Gabriel wasn't an apostle. Don't go start a church on that, please. He's a picture of the apostolic company. And this is an incredible thought I'm going to give you. You ready? Nothing happened to the woman, the church, until she was visited by the apostolic angel. And you think I'm being weird and strange? Read the whole Bible. And hear what Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 14. He said, "You guys receive me as an agelos, as an angel of God." Because the context, whether it's angels or men, is determined by the context, okay? Revelation 2 and 3, I believe that the angel over those each of those churches was a man. And Gabriel speaks to me of the apostolic company. And he's talking. Lord, that'll preach. Then, Mary goes to see Liz. Come here, Liz. I'm Mary, you're Liz. And what did they do? Sit down. And when two people, all this is going to make somebody scream and shout, when two people have encountered the same apostolic angel and been overshadowed by the same Holy Ghost and are carrying a similar seed, a royal seed, whenever they embrace in meaningful covenant, then that which is prophetic yet unborn will leap. There's stuff in you guys. Help me preach a little bit here. I said there's stuff in you. There's words in you. There's songs in you. There's ideas in you. There's life in you. There's vision in you. There's ideas in you. And if you'll just go hug your brother and hug your sister who's been overshadowed by the same Holy Ghost, all of a sudden that which is within you, that which is prophetic, yet unborn, like John, will leap. It'll kick. John leaped. Jesus sang. It's in my new book. That Magnificat of Luke 1, 46 to 56, where Mary rejoiced in God her Savior. Communicate that to your Roman Catholic friends. She wasn't blessed above women, but among them. Give her honor, but she ain't God. No mediatrix. No, no. But, oh, in Elizabeth, John leaped. But in Mary, it wasn't Mary singing. It was the seed in Mary singing. And the last of that chapter, back to John. They had a convention down at Faith Bible College. All the neighbors and cousins were there. Stand to your feet. Shake hands with 10 people. Say, hello, neighbor. Hello, cousin. Sit down. Say, why'd you do that? You needed a stretch. All the neighbors and cousins were there. All the denominations were there. All the non-denominational denominations were there. They were all there. Because it was time to name the baby. Time to name Zacharias and Elizabeth's new baby. Zach walked in. You ready, my baby? Which means good evening, everyone. Can he talk yet? Liz walked in with a smile on her face. You'll get that later. Maybe they don't do it here, God. Zach sits down. As he sits down, he said, keep it honey, baby, I mean. Which means, bring me a writing tablet. So they brought him a writing tablet. They'll be all right. No? Somebody get those for me. Put them back up. He gets him a writing tablet. Thank you. Sits there. And boy, I can picture this. There hadn't been a move of God in Israel for 400 years. Hadn't been a prophetic voice in the land for four centuries. You understand me? It was dry. Dry. So this first move of God they'd had in 400 years, I mean, everybody was there. And I can just see them all hunkered down. That's an English word. Didn't hunker down behind that old man, squeezed in. You know, I can see the microphones and the cameras and, you know, I can just see it all, like, you know, CNN thing. And he says, keep a hurry, baby. Which means bring me a writing tablet. And they're all waiting for him. This is the point, students, that I told you this morning that you're supposed to stand and cheer and look ecstatic about and act like you never heard before. Oh. Not yet. I paid her to do that. I'm praying for you, sir. She's the only one in captivity. All right, now, corporate, we're going to do it together. Save it, because Some of these others are going to need it. All right. I got to rewind it. Baby, baby, baby. Bring me a writing tablet. They're all waiting for him to make the sign of the Z. Because everybody knows. Yeah, over here, somebody got it. Everybody knows. This is hard to preach in New Zealand. Everybody knows when you haven't had a baby or a revival, it's got to be named Zacharias Jr. He blows their mind, flips out their theology, destroys their paradigm. He makes a sign of a J. Jeez. Cameras go off, microphones are deadened. The prophets who came there that day, status quo prophets that had their prophecies written out. Threw them away. God, what are we going to do? We knew something happened to that old man when he went in the temple that day. And for sure, we know something happened at home. Because he had such a good time with Liz, the old boy can't even talk. And now he can't even spell. I want to bring the word of the Lord. Say, man, you're just on a roller coaster of emotions, and that's how God is. He sets you up because you're wide open now. You want the word of the Lord? That which God does in you, your family, your business, this school, and this wonderful nation will not be Zacharias Jr. It won't be modeled after anything. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God will prepare for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He is going to do something in New Zealand. You can stand and shout if you want to. Exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. What God does in this school, what God does in you, what God does when he sends you to the nations, it will not be Zacharias Jr. It won't be the same old cabbage. It will be a new thing. It will be fresh from God, and it will impact the nations. Sit down. We're two-thirds through to give you hope. Wonder, witness. John, Elizabeth, come on. Elizabeth prophesied. She said, surely, verse 46, be a performance of everything God said. She prophesied. Mary sang. And what happened when the old Gabriel. Who set the dynamic? Who set the parameter? Who brought the word of the Lord? The apostolic angel. Anybody want to flow in the kind of anointing I've demonstrated since I've been here? It's simple. If you'll bring a writing tablet, not a table of stone, but the fleshly table of your heart, and let God by his finger write on it. If you will agree, can two walk together? Except to be agreed. If you will agree with the words of the apostolic angel, not Kelly Varner, but an apostolic company that's all saying the same thing, the minute you agree with the words of the apostolic angel, God will loose your tongue and raise you up into the same level of that angel's anointing. Now that is a mouthful, what I just said. If we will agree with what real apostles and prophets are saying, male and female, how do we do that? We bring the tables of our hearts and we say with Mary, be it done unto me according to thy word. It's not Varner's word. It's his word. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. And once the church will agree with the voices that he sends, phew, he'll catch the whole army up into that same apostolic anointing. What a thought. Well, now you know the devil's happy about this. Pat your tummy. Look at your neighbor and say, something has developed here. I don't want to be long on this point because I've got to get over here and prophesy to Dez and his wife. It's a lovely lady. But the Lord told me to take my time tonight because I have a word of the Lord also, first of all, for your children. Anyone in the room and anyone that's kin to you, 25 years of age or under, I've got a word for you, for your seed. And to predicate that, to get you ready, there was a generation that was born in Egypt, I've told you that already, Oral Roberts' generation, born in the 40s and 50s, saw the beginnings of real miracles. My generation, the baby boomers were called, born in the 60s and 70s, but there's a generation born in the 80s and 90s. They weren't born in Egypt or the wilderness, they were born in the land. Psalms 87, this man was born in Zion. Kids that are born in the house of the Lord. And I want to prophesy to begin with, they will be the greatest generation the world has ever seen. You can shout if you want to. Do you know your Abraham's seed now? Genesis 17 and 6 says, kings will come out of you. Isaiah said that arise and shine for thy light is come. Read it down through verse 5. He said they'll come, your sons and your daughters shall come. That's in verse 4, but verse 3 says kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. And right away he explains it. He said your sons and daughters will come from afar and be nursed at your side, developed. It's the Hebrew word for faith, almon. They'll come and get your faith. God, I could preach all night on that. I'm telling you something. If you're Abraham's seed, that's why Schofield's so devilish. If you're Abraham's seed, here's the promise. If you love your children, listen to the word of the Lord. Mom, Dad, you must get up. Grandma, Grandpa, you must get up. Because kings, woo, and queens are coming to the brightness of your rising. They are your children, your grandchildren, your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters. They are the kings and the queens that have come out of you. That's at the end of Luke 2, where Jesus at the age of 12, who was the wisdom from above, swallowed up the wisdom that was earthly, sensual, and demonic. And he did it on their own turf. I want to prophesy. I'm ahead of myself, getting ahead of my outline. I don't care. I hear God. I say that the children, these little kids that have been going in and out of here, that I'm walking back and forth to my room. They're hollering at me. There's a pastor of honor. They're coming up and giving me sugar. They only get up to about here on me, some of them. But they're kissing me and hugging me. Little baby doll rode her bike up to the door tonight and coming in. I just reached over and gave her a little kiss on the top of the head. I want to say this. That the children that come out of your loins, not to worry. The seed cannot be contaminated. The devil will not have them. The world will not have them. Listen, listen, listen. I want to tell you this. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. They are going into the world's own arenas. Jesus on those guys' own turf. He went into their temple, in their forum, and on their turf, he swallowed up their wisdom with the wisdom that he had. I'm telling you something. There's a generation born in Egypt. Grandma and grandpa knew how to pray. Generation born in the wilderness. Strong in the word and the power of his might. God's going to take, oh, I want to preach this. He's going to take the best of two generations and pour it out in a third, and they shall be anointed with an unprecedented wisdom that will go into the world and every strand of society and leaven the whole loaf. I'm telling you, your kids and my kids are going to be something else. They're going to outshine us, and the seed won't be contaminated. They're going to overpower the enemy. Hallelujah. see. I'm almost done. That's 30 minutes. When I say I'm almost done, it's like, ladies and gentlemen, we've just turned on the buckle your seatbelt, and we'll be on the ground in about 20 minutes. Tell your neighbor we're landing now. I'm not going to take the time. I could. And I've got the energy to do it. I could preach longer than you could sit there and listen. You could. The enemy's, he's upset. Pharaoh's upset. Herod's upset. Great red dragon's upset. Because the seed is alive in us now. And I want you to know in the last 10 days, because of all of us, the seed's been speaking. Wonder, witness, warfare. He can't kill it. So his next thing is to try to contaminate it with discouragement. To lie to you. Tell you nobody's listening. Nobody cares. That you've run in vain. I'm going to say something very powerful now. Because some Kiwis, not you of course, but some are cynical. A nicer word might be pessimistic or negative. I want to use the word cynical. You know why? They're burnt stones. I'm not talking about the heathen. I'm talking about Christians. If I say it like this, you might get upset, but it's my last night. They're mad as hell at God. Shaking their fist in his face. Here's a baby I got my sugar from. It's good sugar. Listen. In America, there's all kinds of people like that. I have had people in America, listen to me, move to Richlands, North Carolina, which you can't even find on some maps, from over 1,000 miles away. Found out it wasn't a glorified youth camp. Found out I was just a man. You stick me, I bleed. Didn't want community. Didn't want covenant. Just wanted me to teach. And they're still in our local area, not going to church anywhere. And move there from over 1,000 miles away. Because once you hear this stuff in your spirit, you are ruined. If you've heard this stuff, present truth, in your spirit, slap your neighbor, say it's too late now. You'll turn on a Christian TV or you'll pick up a book and your neighbor will go, You're ruined. Oh, if I say it like this, I probably shouldn't say it like this. Like this. God sent me here to knock you up. In the Holy Ghost. That's as raw as I can say it. And I wanted to say it just like that. God brought you into this place for the last 10 days. To experience a husband ministry who would put a living word in you. And that seed is alive in you now. This lady came up and jumped up and down and said, I'm changed, I'm free, whatever she said. It's obvious. Because when I ministered to her personally Saturday night, I watched her countenance change. It's not me. It's not the messenger. It's the seed I carry. I'm not going home. You weigh that. I'm not going home. You're still not hearing me. Christ will not leave New Zealand. That word is here. That word was here before I got here. And to tell you the truth, sir, I really haven't planted that much. I've just watered what you and others have planted. Give thanks for the man of God. Please work with me for the next 20 to 30 minutes. It's going to get real quiet, but it's very intense. Because I've got a word that's got to go over here. And I'm honing in on it right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you love Des and Carly, pay attention. See, I don't want to teach the rest of this now. Because in Luke chapter 2, it can't be contaminated. In the first two feasts, you can fake it. You can fake thanksgiving, and you can fake praise. And Judas is a praise that betrays Jesus. But you can't fake worship. And here's the way that a lot of folk in my country think, who are burnt stones. They said, I tried church once. I tried community once. I tried covenant once, and I got burned, and I'm hurt, and I'm mad. I know I'm disconnected from the greater purpose. I know I'm out here by myself. I know it. I know my back ties are accruing interest in those CDs I got in the bank. But just as sure as I get involved with the house of the Lord again and a ministry again and a greater purpose again, I know man would contaminate it. Every time I've done it, man's got his finger in the pie and just messed it up. I got a word for you, if that's your condition. God's not going to let anybody mess this one up. Prove it. First of all, this is awesome thought. He's only going to put the seed in a virgin church, a habitation of purity. The only one who gets this stuff is a woman, a church, who's a virgin. It tickles me in America when men that this thing hasn't been birthed in get my books and tapes and try to preach it. It's almost humorous. You can't preach this, Des, unless it's birthed in you by the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. And I want you to rejoice that God's going to take care of this thing. The rascals won't preach this because they can't preach this. He's going to have a people that's holy. Help me preach. He's going to have a people that's pure. He's going to have him a virgin church. It can't be contaminated. Something else. He didn't go uptown to Jerusalem. He didn't come first to Auckland. He went to Nazareth. And he went to Bethlehem. And right outside of Jerusalem on those hills that night, he didn't go to the big name preachers. I'm not knocking something if it's a mega church or if it's big, and don't you. Because if you think it's big and then it's bad, then God's bad because God's big. Don't let your jealousy taint your discernment. But he didn't go to the big names. Would you like to know where he went that night when the heavens exploded? The first preachers to hear about a threefold salvation. There's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. 1, 2, 3. The first ones to hear about that were simple country shepherds who loved their sheep. Let's go and see this thing, and then we'll tell it. My next visit, I'd love to preach on the man-woman issue. And if I did, I would tell you that the 21st century church will not be contaminated with an old order, Pentecostal, male-dominated duality. Why? Because before God allowed the grimy hands of a priesthood that was about to pass away to
to touch the new thing. He intercepted Jesus with a prophet, Simeon, and a prophetess, Anna. In the time of Messiah, there will be no difference between male and female. That church will not be contaminated with such tradition. I'd love to tell you about the fourth point, but I've got to prophesy to you. I'd love to talk about the wise men. How many of them were there? Very good. We don't know. Well, I know there were three because Granny sent me a Christmas card, and I'm telling you, there was three of them on there. And she knows God. There weren't three. There may have been 300. We don't know. Well, they brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Yeah, I know. Gold is the price of worship. Frankincense is the purity of worship, and myrrh is the pain of worship. Later. I'd love to talk about the wise men. I'd love to talk about the star. I'd love to talk about the east. Wow, that's a good one. But it's time to go to the house. Because you've got it. You've got the reason why I came here tonight. Don't make it hard. God has overshadowed you by His presence, and the same seed that was in the virgin is in you, and there's not a thing the devil can do about it. There's not a thing circumstances can do about it. There's not a thing your own stubbornness can do about it. I'm here to prophesy that He hath begun a good work in you. He's going to finish it. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, and nothing can stop the seed. Somebody thank Him. Hallelujah. I'm going back to America. The seed stays. It's indestructible, incorruptible. It's permanent and not passing. It's in good ground, you, and it does bring forth fruit that remains. If you believe it, stand and praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Be seated for 10 minutes. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you ever paid attention, do it now. He wants to prophesy to Dez and Carly. Have you learned anything tonight? This thing that God does in you, it's a wonder. You can't explain it. It's become a witness. You can't keep it quiet. Devil's mad, not to worry. Can't contaminate it. And with the wise men, oh, I'd love to preach that point. I'm glad I write books. Because the seed cannot be dethroned. He isn't my soon coming king. He's already king. The seed that is in you lives and speaks and reigns. Would you be so kind, you two gentlemen, to trade places with them so I don't tear up this overhead if I get excited? You know I'm not tired. That's incredible. That's incredible. I know I've worn some of y'all out, but I'm not tired. No, I'm done, Des. Herod the Great was a monster. He was married 9 or 10 times. Mariamne he killed. He killed her 2 sons. And on his deathbed, he ordered another son killed. The man was a butcher. Demon-possessed. Shrewd, political, maneuvering. An uncanny picture of your adversary, the devil. I want to say something to all of you before I say something to them. And it sums up my whole visit, and if you can hear it with your heart, you will never be defeated. I hear the Lord say concerning personal and corporate destiny over you and this place, the seed is safe because the end is secure. The end is secure. The seed is safe. I can get on that plane tomorrow and sleep like a baby, knowing. Sorry. I'm so open to the Lord to just a wide range of stuff happening inside of me. I'm sorry. I just heard His voice as plain as I'm talking to you. He said, I will watch over my word to perform it. Oh. I'm not working you up. I'm trying to get back my composure. You ever hear the voice of God go straight through you like an arrow? He said, I will watch over my word to perform it. I want to tell this couple something. Do you remember when Herod was visited by the wise men? And he said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? And Herod was shrewd, man. He could figure this one out. He's dumb, but he ain't that dumb. He said, they're looking for king of the Jews, and boys, I am king of the Jews. That's one king too many. That's why folks hate the gospel of the kingdom and those who preach it. Because you can't be king and Jesus can't be king at the same time. Somebody's got to abdicate the throne. And if you don't want to get off the throne as the king of self, you'll go after that other kingdom and you'll try to kill the message by killing the messenger. Learn that. Well, you know the story. He went after the seed. He wants to kill it. And Joseph, being warned, carried Mary and the baby down to Egypt. Now, this prophecy is going to be different, and I've already started it. Because the Lord has taken you guys into some strange places in the last 30 years. They had to go to Egypt to fulfill Scripture. Hosea 11, verse 1. Out of Egypt have I called my son. God has preserved the seed in both of you. Watched over to perform it. And the reason you've had to go into some strange places, I'm talking about not geographically, and maybe even geographically. I don't know you. I really don't know you after the flesh. But I love you, and God said to come here to your nation and honor you and strengthen you. Mission accomplished. You've had to go to Egypt just to fulfill Scripture. And early one morning, the angel tapped Joseph on the shoulder and said, you can go home now. He said, well, what about Herod? It's the word of the Lord. Herod is dead. They which sought the life of this Bible school when it was young. Herod's dead. I speak not of personalities. I speak not of what some men would call enemies. Totally in the heavens. Those plots, those strategies to derail this thing, to stop the seed. The word of the Lord is, the seed is safe. The end is secure. Herod is dead. Let me get outrageous with y'all. How would you act if you had no enemies? You don't. How would you act if the only obstacle in your path from here on in was your own procrastination? How would you act if there were no obstacles in the path except your own unbelief? How would you act if the old man was crucified and Satan was crucified? How would you act if Herod was dead? I can picture it, Mama. Am I still on tape two? I've got enough time here, don't I? Well, good. I got 10 or 15 minutes, amen? Okay. I wish you hadn't, but you can always dub it back. Didn't have enough time? Well, that 3 hours went quick. I can picture the mama going back home to Nazareth, reaching the city gate. Here comes all the kinfolk out, including Mary's mother. And she said, "Where have you been, child? We didn't know where you were. We were so worried." She said, "Mama, we were in Egypt fulfilling Scripture, but we're home now, Mama. The seed is safe. The end is secure." And excuse me, you Kiwi men, but only the ladies will appreciate this one. "And then Grandma's eyes saw him. She'd never seen him before. And she said, "Mary, he looks a little bit like you, but..." Mary said, I'll tell you later. Mary's mom looks at her daughter. Said, "Child, what you going to do now that you're home?" She said, "Well, Mother, it's going to be so good just to enter into rest. Because all of our enemies have perished. And they which sought the life of the seed are no more." I think I'm just going to go and ponder these things because, Mama, I met an old man that had a promise that he wouldn't see death till he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And he told me something, Mama, I don't understand. He said, "A sword would pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed." And Mama, I don't know what that means yet, but I think I will one day. Mama walked over to Joseph, looked up into that strong face of that entrepreneur. He was a businessman. He didn't just make one or two rocking chairs, y'all. He had a business. And she said, "Son, thank you for watching over my girl and Jesus. Thank you, son. What you going to do now?" He said, "Well, Mom, it feels so good to be at home. And we don't have to run from Herod anymore. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to hide. or apologize or be ashamed. It's a new day, Mom. I'm going up to the old home place and break out my tools. And I tell you what I'm going to do. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to build a big old porch on the back of the house. And then I'm going to build me a rocking chair for me and Mama. Now relax, you analytical thing, you. I'm not putting you out to pasture. You're all like him. It's a picture, sir. You'll be busier than you ever were, and you will run with the strength of a young man, and God will renew your strength with that of an eagle, and you and I will see one another in the nations of the earth. Let me finish, please. I know, but you were thinking. And Joseph said, I'm going to build a back porch on the back of the house and a rocking chair for me and Mom. And then I'm going up there in the corner of the yard. This is it. You might have to explain this to him later. And I'm going to build a playground for Jesus. I'm going to build a tree house and a slide and a swing. The best playground that a little boy could ever want. And now that all of our enemies have perished, now that we are free to love God and one another in safety and freedom without fear of anything, we're going to sit down in those rocking chairs. And we're going to enter into an unprecedented rest. And we're going to spend the rest of our days just enjoying watching our seed grow. Look forward to it. You will spend the rest of your days holding hands in the rest of the Lord, just enjoying watching your seed grow with this assurance. Herod is dead. They which sought the life of the seed when it was young. Not even. And now we rest. We enjoy watching the seed grow with this assurance. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing can stop the sea. We're going to make a corporate confession. Now make sure you take your time now. You hit it on the right place because we don't want you dubbing over something. You got it where you need to get it? Good to go? Take somebody by the hand. Say this with me and say it like you mean it. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you have saved me, called me, apprehended me. I believe that the same seed that was in the womb of the Virgin Mary when she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit is the same seed that was placed in my heart when I was overshadowed by the same Holy Spirit and born from above. I have been born again by an incorruptible, indestructible seed The Word of the Living God.
The same seed.
The very same seed.
That same image
is being conformed in me.
Christ in me.
The hope of glory.
And there's absolutely nothing
the devil,
his demons,
circumstances,
or even my own stubbornness
or unbelief
can do about it.
Something's inside of me.
It's kicking hard.
It's kicking hard
to be born.
It's my baby.
It's destiny.
It's a savior,
a deliverer,
a reconciler.
It's a voice.
It's going to save my nation.
And I am persuaded.
I am persuaded.
I am fully persuaded
that nothing,
nothing,
absolutely nothing
can stop this seed.
Now you can praise him.